Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Let's listen to the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. We just pray right now. We just pray for your spirit to work right now, Father. Work in our hearts and minds. Illuminate this text to us. Change us, Father. Grow us in our faith. And if there's someone here who doesn't know you, Father, who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, show them their need for Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're backtracking a little bit. Last week, we looked at the more of chapter 6. We looked at the three different examples that Jesus was talking about when we do acts of piety. All right, and one of those examples was prayer. So we looked at that specifically in the context of how what our heart should be like with regards to prayer. But in the midst of that example, we see verses 9 through 15. Now, I could have talked about that last week, but I felt that 9 through 15 was a sermon unto itself. And so we go back to verses 9 through 15 this morning, and we look at 9. And Jesus then says, he says, pray then like this. Pray then like this. So remember the context. Remember the context that we're in here. The greater context of the Sermon on the Mount, but the greater context of the how to pray. It's not just these words. Right, he says, don't pray, don't use empty words. So even with these words that he gives us, it's about our heart when we pray. It's about our heart when we pray. These words should not be empty. We want to pray honestly to the Lord. Secondly, though, when we look at we look at verse 9, pray then like this. Notice that this prayer, look at this prayer more as an outline than as the specific words. And that's what hopefully I'll be showing you as I look at the petitions. When we pray, we don't have to use these words, these specific words every time we pray, right? I think we would all agree. Ron did pray the Lord's Prayer today, but he also used other words, and he's okay with doing that, right? We're okay with using other words, but how we pray, does it meet up with the outline of the Lord's Prayer? But on the flip side of the coin, pray this prayer, right? Pray these words. Sometimes maybe we know we have to pray. We know something is heavy on our heart, but we don't know what to say, right? We're almost speechless before the Lord in prayer. Well, what better prayer to use than the Lord's Prayer here in chapter 6? So don't use this prayer with empty phrases in your heart. Use the outline that we're going to go over, or use the real words, but be honest when we pray. But let's look at the petitions now. Let's turn and look at the petitions. And I'm going to go each petition separately. All right. So the first petition, verse 9, and forgive me if I go like when I say these petitions in like the pastor tone. There's like a pastor tone whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to try not to do that tone. I'm just going to try to say the petitions. But in verse 9, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Excuse me. So first, when we pray, who are we praying to? Our Father. Okay, God the Father. Okay, God the Father. But look at that pronoun. Our Father. Our Father. Breathe that in. This is not just God. I mean, it's God, obviously. He's not some distant deity. He is our Father. When we have repented of our sins and trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have been adopted by God, by His grace, into God's family. And He is then our Father. And maybe some of us have bad dads. We all have flawed dads. So maybe our picture of a father is flawed by the sinfulness of this world, right? But this is a perfect heavenly Father. And this is our perfect Heavenly Father. One of the shows I've been binge watching, I do a lot of binge watching shows, you can tell, is Blue Bloods. And does anyone else watch Blue Bloods? It's like the most conservative show on TV. I mean, I'm sure that someone, okay, two of us watch it. Anyway, so Frank Reagan, played by Mustache himself, Tom Selleck. But he is the police commissioner of New York City, right? So that obviously is a job that I don't think any of us wants. It's a very busy job, time-consuming. He's always working, and he always has people meeting in his office, and not just anyone can drop by Frank Reagan's office. But Blue Bloods is all about the Reagan family, right? The Reagan family. And guess who can always drop by Frank Reagan's office anytime they want to talk? His kids. And, you know, that's a picture of something much better for us. We have access to our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, whenever we want. So if you are being, just worn out and need to cry to your Father, you can go to Him anytime. If you are just so excited and happy and joyful about what is going on in your life and you want to tell your Heavenly Father, you can go to Him anytime in Jesus' name. Isn't that just beautiful? We have access, and that's what this prayer Jesus is teaching us tells us first. Your Father, Jesus is saying, our Father. But look what else it says. Our Father, where? In heaven. Okay, in heaven. Now, of course, we need to remember the important theological doctrine of God's omnipresence, that God is a spirit and He is everywhere. Okay, right? I'm not taking anything away from that. But He is in glory, right? Where He dwells, in the house of the Lord. That is where He's at. And that's where we get to long. That's where we get to be with Him if we are His children. One day we will be with Him forever and ever in glory in heaven. But that's where He's at. He reigns from glory. He reigns from heaven. So our Father who is in heaven, and then what? Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed. Revered. Right? Honored be Your name. When we talk of God, when we think of our Father, there's this awe aspect. Shouldn't there be? We're talking to our Father, right? I'm not taking anything away from that, but we're talking to God. And there's an honor there. It doesn't matter what your politics are. When we speak of the president, we should honor that name because of the title, right? We shouldn't go by nicknames or we shouldn't slander the president, right? I actually met President Ford. And I got to sit with President Ford in college with the other students in a room, and we got to sit and talk for like an hour. It was really cool to be in the presence of a former president. And in that year, Michigan State won the national championship in basketball, and President Ford is a Michigan guy. So as I'm sitting there, they're taking questions from everyone, and I so wanted to just kind of tease him for his alma mater losing to the cross-state rival, Michigan State. So, as the time's going, I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tease a former president of the United States. But you know what? Even I have limits. And I didn't do it. I didn't say anything. I kept quiet because why? It's the president of the United States. A very small number of men, right? Very small. And there's honor with that name. There's honor with that title. Again, regardless of politics, there is. And so I kept quiet. And here with God, there's honor with His name. There's reverence. Yes, He's our Father, absolutely. And we can cry out. And I don't like saying, Daddy God, because that's okay. That doesn't seem honoring, right? But our Father, who is holy, 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 who is sovereign, who is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, right? There's reverence and awe going into His name when we pray to Him. So when we pray, have that hollowness, have that reverence for your dad, your Heavenly Father. Now look at the second petition here. Look at verse 10. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray, how often do we pray to God as like He's some kind of genie, right? He's our genie, and not with three wishes, but with unlimited wishes, right? And here, Jesus is saying, when you pray, and we'll get to those like personal requests in the next petition, right? But when you pray, Pray for God's kingdom to come. Pray for his will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, we could go in many rabbit trails on this, and I'm not going to, but pray for his kingdom. Now, what does that mean? Pray for the lost to be saved. Pray for the lost to be saved. Pray for your holiness to grow in grace. Pray for obedience to his word. Pray for things that bring him what? Glory and honor. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So pray for that stuff. When was the last time you prayed for someone who's lost? Right? When was the last time you prayed for your holiness, your fight against your sin? Not your spouse's. Your sin. Right? When was the last time you prayed for help and obedience to the law? I mean, it goes hand in hand with holiness. I get that. But to be more specific, when was the last time we prayed for that? When was the last time we honestly prayed for God's kingdom to come in our prayers? Now, this doesn't mean we don't pray for ourselves, right? Jesus, think about Jesus. When Jesus prayed in Luke 22, he prayed this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, right? So there was obviously a personal prayer. Jesus is asking God the Father to remove ultimately the cross from him, right? But then what does Jesus pray? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Let me tell you something. If I get diagnosed with cancer, I'm praying for healing. Unashamedly. Unapologetically. But I'm praying, you know, basically what John Piper prayed. You know, Lord, don't waste my cancer. Actually, I'm going to pray that I can pray that prayer. Lord, don't waste my cancer. All right? It's not selfish to pray, so please don't take that away. Pray for personal things, right? Jesus did. But pray for overall, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Pray in light of God's kingdom. Pray with God's kingdom on your mind, on your heart. Look at verse 11. The next petition, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So there's that petition for things that what? We need, right? The things that are on our heart. Give us this day our bread. Give us this day the food that we need to survive. Give us this day whatever it is that we actually need. Father, provide for us. This is a prayer of faith. We're trusting that God will provide for us every day. It's a prayer of humility. We can't do it. We need you. And this is a really hard prayer for us Americans, isn't it? We have 4 supermarkets in this town. And even at the peak of the stockpiling for COVID last year, where the shelves were actually empty, which was, you know, something we'll probably never see again in our lifetime, there were still Brussels sprouts. Right? And there was still Spam. And what else?
Kale.
And kale. There were lots of kale. I was like, I'd rather starve. thank you. Thank you. Right? Right? But even at that moment, there was still food, right? That's the point. There was still food. So it's hard for us to like pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread when we have bread in many forms, including gluten-free, right? Right? It's there, but that's where we have to break down that almost that arrogance. And I think COVID-19 was helpful with that when we did walk into the store and the shelves were almost empty. Because even that abundance that we have in America, it's all by God's grace. It's all from him, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, right? So every day when we wake up, you know, we pray, asking God, give us this day our daily bread. Father, we can't do it. We need you. We are in complete dependence on you. And then verse 12, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. If you notice, this is kind of a tough prayer to pray that Jesus gives us in some sense. And maybe this is the hardest part. The first part, it's broken down in 2 aspects. The first part is, and forgive us our debts. So here there's this aspect in our prayers, we should be repenting. We should be coming to the Lord in prayer and just confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, the sins that we know we struggle with, the sins that we know that we break, sins of omission and commission, even including the sins that we don't know. We know we're sinners. We sin. So we confess. We repent. Spurgeon said this: do not make any mistake about it. Repentance is not a thing of days and weeks, a temporary penance to go over as fast as possible. No, it is the grace of a lifetime, like faith itself. So we are to continually be repenting of our sins, confessing, asking for forgiveness. So that's the first part. We come to the Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us. Repenting. But then what's the second part? As we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also have forgiven our debtors. So I guess it's an implication there. We need to come forgiving those who have wronged us. We need to come not just asking for God to forgive us, but we're coming to the Lord in prayer forgiving others. Forgiving others. We need to forgive those who have done petty things against us, or really nothing at all, things we just don't like. We need to forgive those who have truly hurt us, wronged us, sinned against us. We need to forgive when we go in prayer. And maybe in our prayer, Jesus is saying we need to ask God to help us forgive. We need to ask God to help us forgive. We need, help, Father, help me forgive my parents. Help me forgive my spouse. Help me forgive my kids, my boss, my coworkers, my friend, my neighbor. Help us forgive. And we'll come back to this in a little bit. But finally, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are to pray to the Lord to help us be led not into difficult situations. So, or when we are, to help us not be compromised, our faith not be compromised, to help us not sin. Now, God does not tempt us to sin. He's holy, right? But he is sovereign, and sometimes we are led into situations that are challenging, that are hard. And quite frankly, everything we walk into is a moment where we are tempted to sin, is it not? And so when we walk into those moments, we plead and we ask God, help us stay strong. Help us bring you glory. Help us not sin. Help us be victorious. Help us be like Job. But Job was fallen, so help us be like Jesus. Jesus was not fallen. And what a great prayer that would be every day to start when we wake up. Right? Lord, protect me today as I live my life and deal with many things. Help me be obedient and faithful. Right? That's what he's saying. Lead me not into temptation. And then the prayer ends. You notice that? Then the prayer ends, but something's missing. Right? Something's missing. Well, Ron led us in the prayer this morning, which is great. But Ron obviously is a heretic. He added a last phrase. So I'll make note of that for the next session meeting. Ron, don't worry. I'll bring it up. Ron correctly said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. We don't see that here in the Sermon on the Mount. We don't see that in another location in Luke. We don't see that there either. So what's the deal here? So this is something I don't really like to get into from the pulpit. There's a few moments in the Bible that you have to just kind of tackle this issue, and it's called a textual criticism. And so here's the truth about the Word of God. So we don't have the original copy that Matthew wrote of the Gospel of Matthew, right? We don't have that copy, the original copy. That would be really cool, but really old if we did. But what we do have are countless copies of the New Testament, of Matthew specifically, that go back thousands of years. And the earliest manuscript that we have of Matthew, that we have of this text, does not include, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as based off of the evidence that we have now, the scholars don't feel that that's part of the original text. Okay, scholars feel that that was added on later as a doxology, as something that brings glory to the end of that prayer. So it's not part of the inspired text as of right now, based off of the manuscripts that we have right now. It could be, but just based off the evidence that we have right now. So that's why it's not in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We don't know if he really said that. Now, is it okay for us to have prayed that, or should we bring charges up on Ron? Presbytery's Thursday, folks. I need time. Hurry. And the answer is Ron's okay. We're okay with saying that. Why? Because it's a beautiful ending to that scripture, to that prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's all pointing back at who? God. Right? We pray this prayer. It's all about you, God. So it's okay to pray that. It's okay to say that. You don't have to. But as of right now, based off of all the scholarly evidence, it was not originally a part of Jesus' prayer found in the Sermon on the Mount. If you have questions about that, you can talk to me afterwards. But let's take a moment. I just went through the petitions. If you're anything like me this week, or from this previous week, maybe you feel a little guilty. I notice, as studying this prayer, I notice that my prayers are selfish a lot of the times. I feel like my prayers are more of a God's the genie, right? And I quickly go to the petition for myself. And I think this, what we need to honestly do, brothers and sisters in Christ, is look at this prayer, look at this outline that Jesus has given us for prayer, and honestly, look at how we pray. Look at how we pray. Do we, in our prayers, confess our sins and repent? Do we honestly bring glory to God with a reverence and awe of His name as we pray? Do we have a humble trust in the Lord as we pray, asking Him to provide for our daily bread and every other aspect of this prayer? Are we praying like Jesus wants us to pray? Are we praying like Jesus wants us to pray? And remember what prayer is. You know, ponder that. Consider how you pray, but remember what prayer is, because maybe you don't even pray. I know I should pray more. You know, I know I should be a pastor who prays more and more and more and talk less and less and less. And of course, you agree with that on Sunday morning, right? But pray, because it's talking to our Father. It's talking to our Heavenly Father. So pray. But now notice something. Jesus doesn't end there. And this is in the context of this passage. Yes, it's in the middle of three piety examples in our heart. But notice, he talks about prayer. He gives us the outline of prayer. And then look at verse 14 and 15. I found this so fascinating. Verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Like, where did this come from? It's so ingrained in God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the whole concept of forgiveness. Now, we must be careful here. Jesus is not saying that if you don't forgive, you won't be saved, or your salvation is dependent on how you forgive and who you forgive and how many times you forgive. The honest truth is we cannot forgive anyone on our own ability. We can only do it by God's grace. We can only forgive by God's grace. We can't save ourselves by who we forgive. It's impossible. We'll fail. We'll fail. But see how important forgiveness is to Jesus. He brings it up now. He brings it up. Forgiveness is so important because why? Forgiveness is the gospel. And forgiveness is a picture of the gospel. So what I mean by that, forgiveness is the gospel. If we have repented of our sins and have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. That's the good news. That's the gospel, right? That's why Jesus died. So we can be forgiven of what? Some of our sins? A little of our sins? No, all of our sins. So here in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of this prayer almost, he says, forgiveness. That's the gospel. But then what else? When we forgive others, that's a picture of the gospel. So someone has been downright rude to you, hateful to you, quite frankly is obnoxious to you, treats you poorly, treats you coldly, and you forgive that person? That points us to the greatest forgiveness of Christ. Because we treated Jesus coldly, rudely. What other words I say? Whatever, you remember. We were that. And God forgave us. So every time we forgive someone, every time it's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the beautiful good news that Jesus forgives and Jesus saves. But secondly, Jesus brings us up because when we have been saved by the gospel, when we have been saved by the good news, when we have been forgiven by God the Father through the blood of Christ, that enables us to forgive. We can forgive. You know, it's hard. I've been there. I'm there. And we're always there. But it can happen because of the good news. Our salvation is not dependent on if we can forgive. We can forgive because of our salvation. That bitterness, that anger, that lack of forgiving that's torn away. That's blown up. That's destroyed because of what? Because of Christ on the cross. So here Jesus is telling us how to pray, but remember forgiveness. Jesus' forgiveness to us and our forgiveness to others. Remember that. It's not easy. So don't, I know it's not easy. It's hard. And some are harder than others, right? But it can be accomplished because of the gospel. And then third, maybe you are like me and you're struggling with forgiving someone. You're struggling. It's hard, right? You don't know what they did to me, Pastor. No, I don't. Remember the gospel. Tim Keller said this, and I realize I quote Spurgeon and Keller all the time, so you don't need to tell me. I just realized that this morning. But he says this, the more you rejoice in your own forgiveness, the quicker you will be to forgive others. The more we think about how Christ and God has forgiven us, the easier it is to forgive others. It doesn't make what they did right. It doesn't give them a free pass. But it makes it easier to forgive. Brothers and sisters in Christ, forgive. Forgive. You've been hurt. You've been wronged. You've been gone through some horrible stuff. Forgive. Because God the Father was our enemy. We hated Jesus. And yet, what did Jesus do? Went to the cross to die for us, his enemies. Those who hated him, those who mocked him, those who scorned him, those who made fun of him. That's who Jesus forgave. We can forgive too because of Jesus. But finally, do you know that forgiveness? Are you here and you're sitting here and maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've never truly experienced the good news. You've never truly experienced the goodness or the gospel. You've never experienced forgiveness from God the Father. Then repent and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We need a Savior. We need to be forgiven. And only Jesus can do that. So repent, be forgiven, and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing prayer that you've given us. Thank you for who you are, our Father, who is holy, holy, holy. And thank you, Father, that we can have access to you always through Christ. Forgive us of our debts. Help us forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us just be drawn closer to you. Help us pray to you. And help us, Father, forgive. Help us, Father, forgive. We love you and we praise you for this amazing prayer. We praise you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.